Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96, we do the most. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking, heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Welcome to Coach P's Perspective. Your host, Coach Chad Parks, is a nationally acclaimed coach, author, and speaker. Coach Parks, aka Coach P, was a college All-American wrestler, academic All-American, and the son of a National Hall of Fame wrestling coach. He is also the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed Coach P to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. Now here is your host, Coach P.
All right, hey, well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. Today I have an incredible guest, and I have to admit, I have the opportunity to speak to a lot of people, interview a lot of great people, but I'm a little, I would say, shell-shocked, or sometimes you meet somebody that you really look up to. So today's guest is Jason Romano, and he is the host of the Sports Spectrum podcast, which is one of my favorites I listen to. He's an author, a speaker. For 17 years, worked for ESPN. He was a winning producer, senior manager, involved with shows like SportsCenter, Monday Night Football, Mike and Mike in the Morning. The list goes on and on. So, Jason, man, thank you for being on here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. So good to see you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. So, yeah, and I'm serious. I mean, I don't get in my life, I've been able to meet a lot of big athletes and things like that. But yeah, I'm kind of nerding out a little bit right now. So,
well, I appreciate that. Listen, I'm kind of humbled by it too, because I'm nobody. Like, get more starstruck around a real star, but I appreciate it. And I've been there. I've been at ESPN walking around my heroes and seeing people and be like, that's pretty cool. I'm starstruck here. So I've been there. Yeah. But I appreciate it. I appreciate it, brother.
Yes, sir. So, all right, hey, I want to start here just so we can kind of, you know, everybody listening kind of get to know your background. Tell me a little bit about, you know, where you grew up, how you got involved in sports, and just a little bit of your background like that.
So I grew up in a little town called Ravenna, New York, which is about 12 miles south of Albany, the capital of New York State. So it's upstate New York, 2 hours north of New York City. And, you know, the town was 2,000-3,000 people, very small village. It was the village of Ravenna, not even the town of Ravenna. It was that small. But everybody knew everybody, you know. It was a little town where we whatever you did, you know, there were lots of people there from the town that knew about you and knew about your family. And that's good and bad, but it was a cool place to grow up. You know, we had the little town park, and we would go play basketball, play little league baseball, growing up in high school, certainly playing a lot of sports. So that's where I kind of, my roots were formed. You know, as a kid growing up, parents divorced when I was 6 years old. So didn't really remember or have any memories of my mom and dad being together. Sports was always a big part of my life from the time I was a little kid to today. And I played it, I watched it, studied it. It was my God, as I tell a lot of people. My faith is important to me now, but I didn't have a faith growing up. My faith was in sports. And so that's what I watched. That's what I played. That's what I cared about. And, you know, I turned that into a job in broadcasting, but that wasn't until I realized that I wasn't going to be a professional athlete, which is probably somewhere in the 10th or 11th grade, where I was like, I love playing this game, but I'm not going to be a pro at it ever. And so that allowed me to kind of pivot a little bit into the next phase, which was broadcasting, because if I can't play it, I can certainly talk about it. And went to college for that specifically, for broadcasting. Ended up at ESPN 3 years after graduating college. Graduated in 97, ended up at ESPN in 2000, and worked there 17 years. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what sports did you play growing up? Like, or let me say this, what sports did you play, but like, what was your favorite?
So I played basketball, I played baseball, and I bowled. I was a bowler. So I would go bowling. I was in a Saturday morning bowling youth league from the time I was 8 till I graduated high school. So I love bowling. I don't know if you call that. I mean, it's a sport, but it's not like basketball or baseball or football or anything like that. But my favorite sport to watch is football. I love football. I played football in the backyard with my brothers for many years and my friends. But when I got to high school, or even a little before that, it's the one regret I have, if you want to know the truth, Chad, is I didn't play football, and I wished I did. My brothers both did. My brother Chris, my middle brother, was a superstar football player, and he was like setting records at our high school and, you know, going to get some opportunities to play college football. His shoulder blew out, so he never really got the chance. But I watched my football career, the dream that I would have liked to have tried, at least, kind of through both of my brother's eyes. But I played basketball in high school, played a little bit of basketball at a community college that I went to, played a couple of semesters of community college basketball. So I like to tell people, Chad, I played college basketball. And they're like, oh, what level? The lowest level of college basketball that you could find, I played. And I was probably like the 10th man on the bench, but I played and I love basketball. I love to hoop it up. I played hoops for many years in different leagues, church leagues. And baseball was a lot of fun as a kid. That was probably the first sport that I ever played. Little league, played a little high school ball, and was a lot of fun. I still like baseball. I still love watching baseball.
Yeah. Well, for anybody listening right now, and this will, you know, be out on video later too, but I see you got a Mets hat on. So growing up, yeah. In the New York area, were you a Mets fan or a Yankees fan? Or
Mets. I mean, that's where I grew up, in Albany, in Ravenna in Albany. It's weird where that's located too, because Albany doesn't really have any teams. You know, they had like a minor league baseball team when I was growing up, the Albany County Yankees, which was a New York Yankees AA affiliate. But there isn't really any local teams other than colleges, I guess, to get behind some minor league teams. So I rooted for the Celtics in basketball because my dad's a Celtics fan, and I still root for the Celtics today. I rooted for the Cowboys since I was 5 years old, Dallas Cowboys fan, still am today. And the Cowboys started because I watched the Giants with my dad as a kid. He's a Giants fan, and I saw him play Dallas once and liked the star in the helmet, and that was the end of that. And so, but the Mets came from watching a lot of baseball with my dad and my grandfather. You know, the Mets were one of the local teams with the Yankees. And in the 80s, the Mets were the team, not the Yankees. And in 83, a baseball player named Darryl Strawberry came up from the minor leagues and took the Mets and New York baseball world by storm. And that's where I started rooting for him and rooting for the Mets. And to this day, still a big Mets fan too. I always like to say, Chad, I am a suffering Mets fan. I am a suffering Cowboys fan because neither of those two teams have won a title in 25 years and 34 years. So it's been a long time.
Yeah. So it's funny. I'm in the same boat. I'm from Oklahoma. We don't have a pro football team, pro baseball team. Yeah. So I grew up liking the Rangers. All right. So it's funny because Oklahoma, I'm a huge OU fan. All right. And we don't like Texas at all. Biggest rival.
Boomer Sooner. There, I got to get that right.
Yeah. But we love Texas pro sports. So I was a Rangers fan. And then I'm right with you. I'm a suffering Dallas Cowboys fan. Have been since I was 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
But I loved the Mets. Daryl Strawberry was like my idol. I played baseball for 9 years. I tried to have – I used his stance. My batting stance was his stance. Yeah, so elbow up. So it's kind of funny because I used to collect baseball cards when I was a kid. Had some really good ones. Got into it, and I can't tell you how many great cards I traded away because I wanted every Daryl Strawberry and every Doc Gooden card I could possibly have. So I have all the rookie. I have all that stuff. But yeah, so
I'll tell you, when I was a kid, 1985. This is about March of '85. I was 11 years old. I got my tonsils out. I had to find out, or my mom, I had a lot of sore throats. My mom got me diagnosed with the ENT doctor, and I ended up getting my tonsils out at 11 years old. And I remember in March, it was always around the time when the new sets of baseball cards would come out. So Topps was in 85, it was Topps and Fleer and maybe Donruss, I think, were the three big ones. And then Score and Upper Deck and all these others came out later. And I remember, because, you know, when you're in a hospital and you're 11, you know, you get like cards, you know, like greeting cards and well wishes and things. And the only thing I asked for, my mom was like, what do you want? You know, I want to get you a present for being such a good trooper. And I said, I want baseball cards. And I remember opening up cards in the hospital, not being able to talk, and getting the 85 Topps Dwight Gooden rookie card. And I had the Daryl from the year before. Daryl and Dwight were each back-to-back years. And I remember just collecting these cards and thinking, this is the greatest thing ever for an 11-year-old boy as a Mets fan. And that was the year, if you remember, in 85, when Dwight Gooden went nuts. He's 24-4, 1.53 ERA, 268 strikeouts, NL Cy Young Award, probably should have been the NL MVP as well, and just had a year like you'll never see from a baseball player. And it started, funny enough, for me that year, sitting in the hospital bed opening up Dwight Gooden's rookie card. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me use that to transition in. So you said earlier, you know, you 3 years after college, you're with ESPN. So tell me that journey. Like, how did you end up at ESPN? And then kind of walk us through like that genesis to all the things you ended up doing.
So the ESPN story goes in, I never thought that I could get there. People say, oh, it was a dream job. I said, nah, not really. I mean, it was, but I didn't dream big enough to ever work at a place like ESPN. I mean, my dream as a 20-year-old kid in college was to do the local sports for the affiliate in Albany, New York, where I grew up. That would have been a dream job because that's really all I knew. ESPN was so far out there, it felt like I would become a Major League Baseball player. Like, to get to ESPN for me felt like that dream was not a reality. But when I graduated from college in 97, when I mentioned, you know, I went to work in a local radio station in Albany, and that job was hard to get too, but I got it. And I was just so glad to be working in the industry. And I spent 3 years in Albany working at WGY, the local news talk station. That was my introduction into the professional broadcasting world 23 years ago. And it's funny, the internet was around when I got there, and it was starting to be used as a tool for research and things like that, but there certainly wasn't a lot of websites out there that you could use the internet the way we use it today. But I remember in 1998, this was 6 months after I had started, 8 months after I had started my job as a producer, and I'm scrolling through this website called allaccess.com, which still exists today. It's basically a radio website that talks about the industry of radio, different formats, you know, news talk, top 40, country, and kind of just has people talking about different aspects of the business, right? What songs are in the top 30 in each station? It's a pretty cool site. And back then it was a big deal. So I go on there and I click on jobs just for the heck of it. And there's a job that opens up that says ESPN radio producer, network level radio, 5 years experience, Bristol, Connecticut. Thought, oh, that's interesting. Let me click on that application and just apply for it. Had no idea why. Certainly didn't have the credentials, didn't have the background, the experience. Didn't tell my then girlfriend, who is now my wife, you know, if I'm going to apply for a job that takes you outside of the area that you live in, should probably have communication with people that are close to you. But I applied and didn't think anything of it. It was more of like, oh, that's funny. Let me hit send. I'll never hear from them. Guess what? Chad, they called me like 2 weeks later and said, we want you to come to Bristol, Connecticut to interview, and we'd love to talk to you and get to meet you. And by the way, if the story ends there, that's an amazing story for me. Like, that's a big deal to get called to go to ESPN for an interview. So I go out to Bristol, and I'm scared to death. Didn't know how to get there. My buddy John came with me. Super nice of him to kind of lend support, go on a two-hour road trip. From where I live to Bristol, Connecticut was 2 hours. And I get inside and it's ESPN. And I find the person that I'm supposed to be asking for, a guy named Len Weiner. And Len is the program director of ESPN Radio at the time. And we sit and we go into his office. I don't even get a tour or anything. I just go right to where he is. And we sit down. The very first thing to me he says is, you're not going to get the job. You don't have enough experience. And, you're not ready yet. And I'm thinking, well, why am I here? And he says, but the reason we wanted to bring you out was just to get to meet you, get to talk to you and I just kind of learn a little bit about your journey. And I said, well, I just graduated 7 months ago. He goes, do you have a girlfriend? I don't know why he asked that, but I said, yeah, I do. He's like, you think you're going to marry her someday? And I'm thinking, why is he asking me this? And I understood what he was doing. He was seeing where I thought I was going to go on my broadcasting trajectory. I said, yeah, I think I might marry her someday. And he's like, when all that's ready, you know, maybe that'll be a time for you to kind of come back to ESPN. I thought, okay, well, that didn't work out so well, but thanks for the opportunity to interview. And so I left and I went home and I thought nothing of it. And if that was the end of the story, great. 2 years later, 2000 is the year, same job opens up, same website, same qualifications, everything, ESPN radio producer. And it's April of 2000, right? So it's a couple years later and I'm thinking, you know what? I got more experience now. Maybe I'll apply now and see what happens. At this point, Chad, and forgive me, it's a long story, but I think it's a really good story on how I got to ESPN. At this point, I'm married. I got married to my wife in November of 99. We had just moved into a little apartment house type of situation near Albany and kind of settling in. You know, I really liked my job locally in Albany, but this job opened up at ESPN again. I was like, yeah, let me apply again. Again, it's very simple to apply on the internet and think nothing of it. And that's what I did. And they called me again, a second time. They remembered me. And it was a guy named Keith Goralski who called me. And Keith is a senior producer there, was a senior producer there. And he said, Jason, come to ESPN. We'd love to interview you again, kind of see where you're at. I understand you were here a couple years earlier and see if you're a fit. And I said, absolutely. And I remember going to my wife and telling her, honey, I just applied for a job at ESPN. They called me to Bristol to interview. And in about a month or two, we're going to be moving to Bristol, Connecticut. And she laughed and I laughed. I said, obviously, I'm not serious. I'm probably have no shot at this job, but I just want you to know that I actually applied for a job in Bristol. And again, you should tell your wife these things before you apply, but that's kind of, you know, lessons that you learn on the journey. So I go to Bristol, I go to ESPN the second time, and I can see it's different. Like there's a genuine interest in me. They think I have enough experience now, even though I didn't have the 5 years of network experience they were looking for. I had 2 years of local experience. You could sense that it was a little bit more serious. And this time, Chad, when I'm at Bristol, I'm interviewing with five different people, like serious interviewing, not just a conversation with Len Weiner, but Len and Eric Schoenfeld and Bill Rodman and Keith Goralski, all these names I will never forget, who meant so much to me early on in my journey at ESPN, I'm interviewing with. And obviously the spoiler alert is I got the job, but the way it happened was ridiculous. I had, you know, that day at ESPN, I went home, then I had another phone interview with Keith Goralski, and then Keith calls me back and he says, Jason, we really like you. We have one position and we like you and we have one other person that we want to hire. So it's down to you two and we'll keep you posted. We'll let you know. I don't know how you feel, Chad, but there's a blessing and a curse in hearing that. The blessing is, wow, I'm down to the final two. The curse is, okay, so I might not get this job. You know, your mind goes to negativity sometimes, and there's a 50-50 shot that I'm going to get this job. So I get another call back about, you know, actually, let me stop there for a second. So I tell my wife this. I say, I'm down to the final two here. This could be serious. What do you think? She goes, well, yeah, you got to take this job if they offer it to you, but they got to give you at least $38,000. And I said, why that number? She's like, well, that's what they got to give you. We have to be able to afford to live. This is in 2000. I don't know why she gave that number. At the time, I was making maybe $22,000, Chad. Really, really big money, as you can tell. And I'm like, all right, 38 grand. Anything else? She goes, yeah, you have to, or they have to move us out there. They have to pay for our moving expenses. You know, we're in Albany. I'm not just going to pick up everything. Like they have to take care of that. And I'm like, wow, what demands. But I loved that my wife was so specific about what she wanted with this. And I said, okay, well, let's see what happens. A week later, I get a call and it's Keith Goralski again. And he says, Jason, listen, we really like you. And what we've done is because of you and the other person, and it came down to both of you, we want to hire you both. Mm-hmm. So we're creating a second job. Which, by the way, Chad, they do not do at ESPN. They don't create second jobs because they like two people. Well, they pick and they hire that candidate, and maybe another job might open up down the road. They created a second job and they said, we want to hire you and we want to hire the other person. So congratulations. Are you interested in coming to work for ESPN? And I said, well, what does that look like? And he goes, well, the pay is 38 grand a year, full salary, benefits from Disney, and we'll also pay for your travel and, you know, cover your expenses. And I said, I'm in. Let's go. Again, I didn't even go back to my wife to tell her that. I just said, I'm in. We're done. We're good. So I go back that night, and my wife comes home from work, and I say, Dawn, I think we're going to be moving to Connecticut because I just got offered the job at ESPN, and I accepted. She's like, well, what did they offer you? Not thinking it would be exactly the number. I said, it's 38 grand, and they're paying for our moving expenses. And she just starts crying, weeping, and not sadness that I took a job, but understanding that our lives were going to change forever. She was going to have to move away from her family. And she gave me a number. If she had said 39,000, who knows? I might have never ended up at ESPN. And I know that's a long story, but I love telling it because it really shows how things had to work for me to even get to this place. It was incredible. And I wasn't a man of faith at that time, but I saw God's hand now looking back all over those situations that took place, the different interviews, the numbers that my wife threw out, the number that they came back with, ending up there was just insane how it happened. And I still live in Bristol, Connecticut 20 years later. I'm still here. I don't work there anymore, but I'm really grateful for my time there.
Yeah, no, that's an incredible story. So it's amazing how whenever you look back, right, hindsight's 20/20, but when you look back, you can see how God orchestrated things. Completely. You know, and I didn't give my life to Christ till I was a freshman in college. And then I could look back over my life and see those type of things. But so sure. Let's transition from ESPN, where you did amazing things, right? I mean, I said at the beginning of the show, all the stuff that you were involved with, did amazing things. This is, like you said, for most people, like just getting the interview would have been enough. It would have been sort of like the dream situation. Then you work here and you do a great job at ESPN. And so maybe like in everybody's eyes, the dream job. Sure. How do you move from ESPN and then make this decision, I want to go into a sports ministry? What did God do in your heart and in your mind? And like, how did that process transition?
It was a process. That's a good word, because it wasn't like an instantaneous. It was nothing like leaving local radio in Albany to go to ESPN, where I just saw a job on the internet and I applied and boom, ESPN called me. It was nothing like that. In fact, if it were probably up to me, I would still be working there, and I probably would have just worked there forever and retired from ESPN when I was 65 or whatever, or as long as they would have me. And, you know, but sometimes you got to put your life in the hands of something bigger. And certainly my faith in God is the biggest and most important thing in my life. And somewhere around 2015, so about 15 years into the journey, I get this sense in my spirit in the summer, right around this time, the summer of 2015, that maybe God was wanting me to do more for him. Again, not an audible voice, not anything, you know, not specific scripture that spoke to me. I wish it was, you know, much more clear than I can explain it, but just this sense in my spirit that I was supposed to do more for him. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know if that meant leaving ESPN. I just knew that God wanted me to do more for him. The more I kept talking to people in 2015, I only talked to a few people about it, but the more I talked to those few people, the more I sensed that maybe God meant, I thought he was calling me away from ESPN. See, ministry was always appealing to me in going into ministry, but it wasn't appealing enough to leave a comfortable job like ESPN. You know, you can do ministry. First of all, you can do it at ESPN, but you can also do it by volunteering, by working in a church setting or a nonprofit or FCA or whatever. There's ways to continue your job at a place like ESPN and still be involved in ministry. And I was for a while at my church, still am. But the pivot away from ESPN, real, super real to me until the end of 2015, when I was probably in the worst place of my time at ESPN, as far as not enjoying my job, which is crazy to say because I had the best job in 2015 working on the NFL, working on Major League Baseball, running their social media accounts and creating content. It was so much fun. But the for me, at least, the culture, some of the people that I reported to, I just wasn't clicking with. I have nothing personal against them. Just wasn't clicking with. And when you're not clicking with someone, it's easy to get frustrated and it's easy to want out. So the grass always is greener on the other side when you are in a moment of unhappiness where you are. So it's easy to look over and say, oh, that's a way better situation than what you're in. And so that was kind of what I was thinking is, okay, I could leave ESPN right now and go work for a ministry and be in a much happier place than I am currently. And this opportunity to go work for, or to go talk to, I should say, conversations with a ministry called Pro Athletes Outreach took place. PAO is how they go by. And I saw what PAO stood for. And it's this ministry that, you know, works with professional athletes and encourages them in their faith. And I thought, wow, pro athletes and faith, like this is the perfect mixture for me in my walk. And I really thought that it was time to go work for them. I don't know why. I'd never had a job offer from them. But I thought, I need to go work for them. And so I started building relationships with some of the people that work in that ministry. And I remember going to my wife and saying, I'm out of here. I'm waiting for an offer from them. And then we're going to go to Colorado and I'm going to go work for PAO. And she just put her hand up and said, hold the phone a little bit. And this is why we have our wives, Chad. And my wife is great in slowing me down and letting me see things from the proper vision and way and not just, you know, overlooking everything else that's in front of me. And she's like, it's not time. You're not happy in your job. So you just want to leave and bolt because you're not happy. And I said, well, that's not true. You know, I'm fighting her. That's not true. I want to go work for God and I want to go into ministry. But she was right. And she was really convicted, I believe, by God to say, it's not time. It's not time. And so I said, all right, fine. Well, I'll just go back to work at ESPN, which is kind of funny to say that out loud, but that's kind of how I felt. Well, lo and behold, an opportunity came pretty much right after this conversation with my wife to go work on a show called Mike and Mike in the Morning. And I had worked on Mike and Mike early on my journey at ESPN. And here was an opportunity to go back and work on this show again. And at this time in 2016, this show was top of the top, right? It was really doing well. You know, Greeny and Golic are legends. It's a show that had established itself as a staple in the business, in the industry, and certainly at ESPN. People knew about the show. And I said, let's try it. Let's go there and see what happens. Well, let me tell you, 2016, my last year, full year at ESPN, was the best year I ever had. So much fun. Mike and Mike, working on that show was a blast. Those guys are amazing to work with. The team around them were all awesome to work with. They included you. They believed that you were a part of the journey with them. I got to travel and go to places like the College Football National Championship, the Pro Bowl, the Super Bowl. I got to go to the NCAA Final Four, the NBA Finals, all within like a 6-month span of working on Mike and Mike. So it was the best year of my life at ESPN. But during that time when things were going really, really well, I still sensed, Chad, in my spirit, remember what I said to you, Jason. I want you to do more for me. And I never heard that from God again, but I felt it. And so I'm thinking, all right, well, I'm going to be really patient here, but I'm not going to sit around on my butt. I'm not going to just wait to see what God does. I'm going to be active here. I call it active patience in my book. And so I spent this time after Mike and Mike's shows were finished, just talking to different people outside of sports, pastors, authors, speakers, ministers, different people, anybody that I could talk to, just learning about their journey. You know, it was really about building relationships with me. And I thought, okay, I'll build these relationships. And then if there's a door that's meant to open and walk through during this time, God will provide that. And that's exactly what he did. In the fall of 2016, the same people who worked on that ministry I told you about a year earlier called me up and said, hey, we just purchased a company called Sports Spectrum. And we're very interested in rebuilding Sports Spectrum up from the ground level. It's sports and faith, it's media. And we think you would be perfect to help spearhead these efforts. And I said, wow, I'm in a really good place at ESPN right now, but maybe this is the time, this is the moment, this is that pivot when God says, okay, now is the time. I want you to walk through that door. And that's exactly what it was. And listen, Chad, the other side of the spectrum here, their offer to me was 40% pay cut. There was no benefits. There was the opportunity for me to work from my house here in Connecticut, travel out to Colorado once a month to be with the team, and but hosting my own podcast, producing my own podcast, building up a ministry, and starting from the ground swell, a lot of that was appealing and scary at the same time. And that conversation with my wife again, it was not appealing at first. She's like, 40% pay cut, leaving ESPN. What are you talking about? But when I really told her the situation, the scenario, what I was feeling, and this time she sensed it was truly from God, we said, let's go for it. Let's try it. And I told her, if this is not from God, it will blow up in my face. The door will shut, it will mess up, and I'll be back here going to work at ESPN again. But if it is from God, and I believe it is, the door will swing wide open. The opportunities to go work there will increase. And who knows what else God will do, potentially opening up opportunities to speak, to write books, which I've written 2 books. And that's what happened. So I walked through the door in obedience, saying goodbye to ESPN, walking out one door into another, and trusting that God would have it in his hands. And that's what he's done the last 3.5 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. Scary, takes a lot of courage, takes a lot of faith.
Absolutely.
Yep. You know, so, and I think that's a big thing for us. Whenever you are in a very secure position, it's tough to go from good to greater. And greater may not always look greater. Like you said, financially, it may not look greater, but the opportunities or the impact that you can have for God, those type of things are greater. So it's weird how God's economy works sometimes.
Even great to greater. Like if people were looking at my job at ESPN in 2016, I was working on Mike and Mike in the Morning, the biggest morning radio show, sports radio show in the world. And so it was great. I wouldn't even say good to great for me. Now in that situation, or some situations, it is good to great. For me, it was great to greater. And there's actually a lot of spiritual lessons in that, you know, because God talks about greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, one of the Bible verses I read. And when you hear that, great is okay, but is there an opportunity to glorify God and go even greater? And that's where I live right now, in this space where I can, I feel like I can really, truly honor God. I can honor God at ESPN, but I can do it in an extremely unique way, in a different way here with what I'm doing now with Sports Spectrum.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask kind of 2 conjoining questions here. One is, I don't want to skip over, like, how did you come to faith in Christ? All right. I want to know a little bit about that story. And then I also want to know the things that you guys are doing in your current ministry. So
sure. I'll tell you the testimony. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version, because again, these stories, we could have a 4-hour podcast, and I want to be careful. Chad, nobody's going to listen to 4 hours unless you're Joe Rogan. And even him, his shows are 2.5 hours, and that's so long. But I will say this. I grew up Catholic, went to church a little bit as a kid, did my first communion, did my confirmation, and then I was done. Like my mom said, get your confirmation at 15 and I'll never ask you to go to church again. It's the exact words from her mouth to me. And I was like, sign me up. I'm in. Because I never cared about church. It didn't interest me. I didn't care about learning. I didn't have a real spiritual mentor in my life. Unfortunately, my grandfather was the greatest mentor and example of my life as a kid, but he never pushed a faith on me or anything like that. And I wished he did, thinking back now, but he was still a great example to me of how to be a man and how to live. So it wasn't until I was 27 until I came to the Lord. It was Mother's Day 2001. I'm ending up at this church. It's a Pentecostal church, very charismatic, very spirit-filled. And if you know the Catholic Church and the Pentecostal Church, they're on the completely opposite ends of the spectrum as far as church experience goes. One is a little more somber and quiet. The other one's pretty loud and clapping and music and hands up in the air. It's just a different vibe. And I got saved that day, not in the church, ironically. So I went to the church service, came out of it. My brother Chris, who's the first in our family to become a follower of Christ, came over to me, and that was his church that we went to. And he said, what'd you think? I said, it was okay. I said, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. And he said, come here. And I don't know why, but when I said it was okay, he felt this opportunity in his spirit that this might be an opportunity to really share who God is. And so he brings me into his bedroom. We sit down. We both sit on the mattress. And he goes, I'd like to tell you about who Jesus is. Are you willing to listen? I said, yeah, tell me. And he shares with me the gospel, shares with me about who Jesus is, why we need a savior, the sin issue that's in all of our lives, salvation. And I want to say this, Chad, I didn't have it all figured out the second I said yes. In fact, I have none of it figured out. I still don't have it all figured out. I definitely don't have it all figured out. But that day, my heart was open to begin a journey and to say yes. And so I said to Chris, I'm in. Let's do this. And he walked me through a prayer that I prayed with him. But it really was, that was just the beginning. You know, I'm not even sure if that day was the day that all of a sudden my sins were forgiven and I was spending eternity with Christ when I passed. I don't know if that was the day because I didn't understand it. It took me about a year to understand who Jesus is, what the cross meant, the importance of salvation and forgiveness, which is a big topic I talk about now. It took me about a year, but that was the day that the journey started. And I've been walking with the Lord now 19 years and I'll never walk away from him. I truly believe that. And you never want to say never, but he's changed my life in so many ways that I owe everything to him. And I'm so grateful for that walk with God. You asked about the ministry that I'm in now with Sports Spectrum. What we do is the intersection of sports and faith. So it's funny to think 19 years later that I'd be working in a ministry that would be telling the stories of athletes, coaches, other people in the world of sports, big names, you know, because I have a lot of connections, and asking them about their walk with Christ. They don't get asked about that walk anywhere else. You know, you turn on ESPN, you're not going to hear about Jesus unless the person being interviewed happens to be a Christian and works that into an answer. But you're never going to hear that question, tell me about Jesus. Well, that's what we get to do at Sports Spectrum on our podcast. It's also a radio show. We get to say, tell me about your walk with Christ. We also talk sports. We talk about the journey, a lot of the things like we're talking about here. But I get to bring Jesus back into the conversation, and what an honor that is. And we've had a lot of nice things said about us. We've had some things that were not so nice. Too much religion, too much faith. I don't want to hear that. You have the right to turn it off, just like everybody else does. But we've seen that this is a real neat outlet, and there's an appetite out there for this type of content. There's a lot of people who are followers of Christ who love sports, a lot of people. And the only place that I've seen really that you're going to get both in the way that we present it is with Sports Spectrum. And now we've seen other people kind of follow along on this and start some podcasts and some shows. And that's humbling really to think about. And the more the merrier, like, let's go, let's bring the kingdom to earth through a podcast and sports and faith. But we're really honored to be able to say that we've been able to kind of champion this a little bit and thankful that God has opened up these doors.
Yeah, no, it's powerful. I mean, I love getting on as a sports enthusiast, right? So I played sports my entire life. I'm a coach. I'm passionate and I love Jesus. So it's like the best of both worlds. So getting on, listen to that. And these people, you know, because growing up, and you said really early in this interview, at one point sports were God in your life. And I was the same way. Sports were God in my life. My identity was found in my sports. And therefore, whenever I succeeded, I was on top of the world. And when I failed or took losses or whatever, I was completely down. And but seeing these people that we consider like to iconic or heroes within sport, and then knowing that they walk with Christ, like, that's powerful, and getting to hear their stories. And honestly, one of the things I love about listening to your show is I get to see the humanity, like, not just the icon of the sport, but I really get to understand and learn about the person and their journey and what it takes to get there.
Well, that's the goal too. And honestly, my favorite interviews, people are probably not going to like this, knowing my faith, but is when we talk about sports, because I'm still a big sports guy. So I like to hear the stories of the time that you scored three touchdowns and what that was like, you know. But I also know that when we talk to these people, they feel comfortable in saying, my faith played a role in all of this, right? And so it's a more natural conversation when you talk to people of faith, because there's a lot of people who are people of faith. And I've actually had people say, I'm okay sharing this because this is a faith podcast. And I'm thinking, man, you should be okay sharing this wherever you are, because it's the most important thing in your life. But you do have to be careful, and I get it. But, you know, I'm just looking at my calendar and I'm looking at some of the names we have coming up, and people like Scott Hansen from NFL Network, Marcus Spears from ESPN, Darren Woodson, three-time Super Bowl champ, Coach Herm Edwards, Lecrae, the rapper, like all of these guests in September are going to be on the show that nobody's heard yet. And I think about those conversations and the impact that those people have on the public space, you know, the national audience, and they're going to come on and they're going to tell you the most important thing in their life is their faith. And you don't hear that anywhere else. And so I love it. I love that they're going to share about their faith, but we're also going to talk sports. We're also going to talk football. We're also going to talk, you know, in Lecrae's case, about the time he met Michael Jordan and the amazing story of meeting MJ. So we got all of these really good conversations that take place that are both interesting and entertaining, but are also spiritually uplifting as well.
Yeah. I'm excited for that Lecrae interview. I am a hip hop head. I listened to a little different kind of hip hop when I was growing up.
I understand. And so did I. Let's put it that way. Yeah. I grew up in the Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg era in the early 90s. And I listened to a lot of hip hop that I might not be so proud to say that I listened to, but it was good. It was definitely good hip hop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then these days I listen to mostly Christian based hip hop. So all the guys from 116. Yeah. And so, okay. I want to move into this, man. Tell me about your book. All right. The Uniform of Leadership. All right. How did that come about, and what are the lessons that, you know, you're really conveying in this book?
Yeah. So I'm holding it in my hand, The Uniform of Leadership. And this is a book I'm really proud of for a couple of reasons. Number one, I never thought I would write any kind of books. That wasn't my goal. I was an ESPN guy. So I was a producer, content, broadcasting, definitely not an author. But God has, you know, sometimes different plans for us when we start walking through doors of obedience. And the first book came about just because it was a story, a personal story of forgiveness that I wrote, came out in 2018. This book, though, The Uniform of Leadership, is a book that if I was ever going to write a book, I would have written a book like this. You know, stories, experiences, what was it like to work at ESPN? That's the most common question that I get. We've talked about that already a little bit. Well, that's why I wanted to write the book, to let people know some of the stories behind the scenes of my time at ESPN. But when we started putting the book together, we really noticed that, and I say we because Stephen Copeland is my co-author, he and I put the book together, collaborated. I noticed that there were a lot of lessons that I learned from the different people that I had interacted with at ESPN. And so that was more appealing to me than just the stories. The stories are great. But what are the lessons that I learned that you, Chad Parks, can implement into your life, that you, Chad Parks, can then teach the people that you coach on your journey? And so we really remapped this book out to be an idea about the uniform of leadership. What does it look like every day to put on a uniform of leadership as we go out into our spheres of influence? You see, we're all leaders. It doesn't matter what position or status or title that you have. You're a leader. If you have influence on anyone, if you're a parent, you are a leader. If you're an older brother or sister, you are a leader to your younger brother and sister. So we all have influence somewhere, and we're all leaders. We just don't realize it. But every single day, we have to make a choice. How are we going to lead? Who are we going to wear the uniform of leadership first? How are we going to do that? Are we going to wear it with the team on the front and the name on the back? Or are we going to wear it with the name on the front and the team on the back? And in essence, for me, it's God first, others second, ourselves third. And if you look at a uniform, specifically like a baseball uniform, there's a team name on the front and your name is on the back if you're an athlete playing. Well, a lot of us wake up every day and the first thing we think about, the first team that we play for, is ourselves. And I am not saying to take ourselves out of the equation. It's important to self-care. It's important to take care of ourselves. It's important to think about ourselves. But Jesus's model in the Bible was to serve. In fact, he said in Matthew 20:28, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And so the greatest leader in the world that I've ever seen is Jesus. And if I want to model that leadership style, it requires me to put others first. So it's Jesus first, others second, ourselves third. You know, the great commandment that God gives, the two great commandments that Jesus then affirms, is love God, love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say love God first and then love your neighbor and not yourself. You know, It's important to love ourselves. It's important to take care of ourselves. But the order is extremely important to be a great leader. In fact, to be a leader. I don't think you can be a leader and not. If you are a selfish leader, that's almost an oxymoron. It doesn't exist. You can't be selfish and be a leader because you're focused on yourself. You're not focused on leading others. And so that's really what the book comes about. It's got a lot of fun stories in there from some people like Tony Dungy and Drew Brees, Will Ferrell, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Jenny Finch, the softball player, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Pete Carroll, the Seahawks. These are all people that I spent time with at ESPN and had leadership lessons, believe it or not, biblical leadership lessons that I took away from my time spending with them. And that's what's in the book.
Awesome. So I can't wait to read it. I think some of the greatest lessons we have in life from the people that were around, we hear their stories, and there's so many. So Andy Andrews is one of my favorite authors. And Andy Andrews, he has a series, The Noticer. And I think you become a noticer whenever you really notice and you pay attention and listen to people. You realize, like, man, principles are principles. They can be applied everywhere once I know them. Oh, awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, I got the book right here. Yep.
So, yeah. So anyway, that's – yeah, I'm excited to get the book and to read it and to learn those stories and learn from other people. So as we get ready –
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You go ahead.
I was going to say people like Andy Andrews, people like John Gordon, who wrote the foreword to the book, people like Simon Sinek. These are leadership experts that I look up to and read their books. And I took a lot of what they wrote and their style and kind of worked it into my book. So,
yeah, excellent. Well, I was going to say, as we get ready to wrap this up, and we could talk for a long time, you are super infectious. Like you have like a joy, you have you're easy to listen to, right? That's why, I mean, I think that goes a long ways, but yeah, super infectious. So, again, though, we don't want this to be a Joe Rogan 2.5 hour podcast. So I'm going to ask you
someday. We can do a 3-hour show in person. How's that sound, Chad?
Awesome. Okay. I want to do this and put you, on the spot a little bit. All right.
Like
you have so many incredible guests that you bring onto your show and interview. Who is probably your favorite, or what's one of the favorite interviews you've done and why on Sports Spectrum?
All right. I'm going to give you a different answer than I usually give. The answer I usually give is Daryl Strawberry for the same reasons that we talked about earlier. I mean, that's your sports hero. And I've gotten to interview him now 3 times for the podcast, and he's just awesome. Like he's my hero as a kid. And I love how he loves Jesus. So the easy answer is Daryl. But there was a moment in 2018 when the team that I root for in football, their arch enemies won the Super Bowl. You may remember when the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl in January, February of 2018. And when you look back, especially if you're a person of faith, even if you're a Cowboys fan, you had to admire the way that so many guys in that locker room, including the head coach, were living out their faith as believers of Christ and as, you know, a successful NFL team. And the Eagles get to win their Super Bowl. It's their first Super Bowl. My brother is an Eagles fan, so just think about that family dynamic. 2 weeks later, I'm at a conference in Arizona. This is a football conference that part of my team and my bosses put on every year for professional athletes. And it's called the Increase Conference. And 10 members of the Philadelphia Eagles championship team, 2 weeks later, are at this conference. And so I'm talking to the team chaplain for the Eagles, and I'm thinking, you know, this might be a real neat interview to have 4 or 5 guys from that team do a podcast with us. And we always have our equipment at these conferences so we can tape some podcast interviews. And so 5 members of the Eagles and their team chaplain come into this room, and I'm interviewing them. Now, I did not once tell them that I was a Cowboys fan. Speaking of you right away if I said that. So they come in, and it was, I'm trying to remember who it was exactly. It was Trey Burton, who threw the touchdown pass to Nick Foles in the Super Bowl. Chris Maragos, a special teams player. Jordan Hicks, who was a linebacker. Torrey Smith, wide receiver. And somebody else. Pastor Ted, the team chaplain, I think was the other one. And so those guys are all – and Stefan Wisniewski, who was the center on the Eagles at that time. So those guys are centered around a big table, and we put the microphone right in the middle, and we just talk. And we spent like 40 minutes or so. It was a fun interview, you know, just hearing stories of how God had worked in the lives of all these players. But at the end, I asked Stefan Wisniewski, I said, I saw that you led your team in prayer right on the field in Minneapolis after the Eagles beat the Patriots that year. And I said, that was a powerful video and a powerful moment where you had 9-10 guys deep holding hands, praying to God and thanking God for the blessing right after you won the Super Bowl. Because if you've ever watched a game and winning a Super Bowl, it's chaos. On winning a Super Bowl and, you know, interviews and all these other things. So there's this great video and it was amazing. So I say to Stefan in the interview, I say, hey, buddy, would you mind closing our show in prayer? And his teammates got real riled up. They're like, yeah, Steph, yeah, let's do this, baby. So he closes the time that we just spent in, was seven of us, including me, the Cowboys fan, locked arms and shoulders with six members of the Philadelphia Eagles after winning a Super Bowl. And it was powerful, man. It was really good. But I remember during the prayer, I have no idea what Stefan said, because all I'm thinking is, God, how could you do this to me? They're yeah. Eagles. They won the Super Bowl. And I'm a Cowboys fan, and I'm sitting here praying with them. Like, what are you doing, God? And obviously there was a lot of, you know, humor in that. And obviously I was thankful to God for the opportunity to do this and understanding that God can use anybody at any time to get his message across. But how ironic is that, that this Cowboys fan of 35 years was praying with six members of the Eagles 2 weeks after they won the Super Bowl. That's about as memorable as you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is a great story right there. Phenomenal. Jason, I want to thank you again for being on the show. It's an honor. I'm grateful and it's a blessing. And again, your podcast, you know, Sports Spectrum is a blessing to me to be able to listen to personally and to a lot of others. So where can people find you? How can we connect with you?
Best place is probably on my website. It's just jasonromano.com. It's got the books on there, speaking, engagements and things like that. If people wanted to have me speak, once we can do that type of thing, or even doing something over Zoom, and contact me directly. When you hit that contact area, it comes directly to me. I don't have like 25 people that it goes through, and love to hear from you. So it's got all kinds of stuff there. And then I'm on social media. So if you're on Instagram, which you and I have been going back and forth on Instagram on, my DMs are open. I respond, and I'm on Twitter as well. And I like to be on social media. Sometimes you got to pull back a little bit, but I like it when it's a useful tool, like the way you and I connected, as opposed to just a lot of noise and ripping people apart. That's not who I'm about. And but I do like to connect with people. So love to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for being on here. It's a blessing. And I can't wait for people to hear the interview and hear your backstory and also the wisdom that you gave us today.
Well, you're welcome, Chad. Thanks for having me, and I really appreciate this opportunity.
Yes, sir. Well, this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, shine his face upon you, and give you peace. Until next time, see y'all. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, that's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. You know, this is an incredible company, family-owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, you know, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up, and this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, t-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love, and God bless.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.